WA2CLP, WA2ISC. It's making the repeater pretty well. Boy is W2TTT is out of town. He's on a business trip, so he's not going to be around. Over.
Okay, my name is Dan. I'm in Cloister. You're very loud on the input. Where are you located?
I'm in Oradell, right near Oradell Avenue and Summit Avenue, the blinker lights.
Okay, well, you're solid on the input with this thing. Anyway, okay. I know he was out of town, so maybe someone wants to pick it up, but it's not my area of expertise. So anyway, I'm just listening. This is WA2CLP in Cloister.
W2JEK was on there for a moment. Don, are you still around? Still on?
W2JEK, I'll make an announcement when we have another night or something else again. But there will be a VE test session on Friday, September 15th at 7 p.m. at the Township of Washington Coral Hall Senior Center. Say that again, September 15th. 7 p.m. at the Township of Washington Borough Hall Senior Center. 7 p.m. Expected net or whatever it is.
And WGJEK K2AMI. Do you have time to run a net, or are you preoccupied? They're done. W2JEK, are you gone? I don't hear you.
I can throw out a topic, an interesting topic. I'm looking to run a net, but I finally looked up, you know, over the years I've heard, oh, use a current balance instead of the voltage balance. And if you look it up, the current balance is built a little differently. It has more components and resistors in there. I guess it's a little heftier than just the... The voltage balance seems to be simpler. It's just, you know, wound on a round coil, but the current balance has the, like, tubular coils and some resistors in it, so it's different construction.
Okay, WA2COP, let me kind of go through the net. I'll kind of run it. And again, decision, Oradell, I'm sorry, I didn't write your call down. This is Tony, K2AMI, and I'll take net control, but can I have your call and your name again, please, in Oradell?
Okay, this is WA2IC. Name is Bob.
Right, I get WA2IC. Is that, did I copy all the phonetics right?
It's India Sierra Echo, and its name is Bravo, Oscar Bravo. Over.
Okay, ISC. Okay, very good. Anybody else out there listening to the frequency tonight would like to check into our net with the absence of Gordon?
WA2CLP.
Okay, well, Don, you are checked in, and I'm going to give you control, but I do want to indicate to you that my vision of a current balance as opposed to a voltage balance is that a current balance consists simply of ferrite cores around the external shield or external section of the of a coax. You can take a piece of coax and put donut-type ferrite cores around that, but you need a multiple one. In some cases, depending upon the ferrite quality, you might need 10 ferrite donuts and run the coax through that ferrite donut. That works very simply as a current bound. Tell me more about what you're telling me. I never heard of a current bound with resistors and capacitors in it.
I don't know. I looked it up on the web, and those are the diagrams they gave. The whole conversation got started a number of years ago because some ham had an indoor antenna or something, and he set his curtains on fire. It had something to do with the balun or the voltage or whatever it was. Supposedly the current balun will keep the current consistent or something. I don't know what the explanation is. I have simple balance that I believe are voltage balance that I've used I don't run a lot of power, so it probably doesn't make any difference. In fact, I think I took my balance off the line. I just connected the ladder line to the coax, and it worked just as well. WA2CLP.
Okay, well, virtually anything works. It's a question of how well it works. You know, it's like eating mushrooms. You can eat any kind of mushroom, but you may not survive any kind of mushroom. Okay. Bob, do you have any comments or information for us?
I've made what they call current balance, basically. You just take a length of coax and many turns through a ferrite donut of some sort. The idea is to keep RF currents off of the outside of the jacket of the coax, keep it from traveling down the outside into the shack. That way, all your RF happens on the antenna and nothing on the coax. Over.
Roger on that. That's exactly what I do, but on some of my installations. But basically, those are called line isolators. They isolate the line going to the transceiver and keep the RF on the line going to the antenna. And you can buy line isolators from any number of manufacturers of different sizes. I have radio works large, about 8 inches long, the current down here that I use on 9 kilowatts, and it definitely keeps the RF out of the shack, and it keeps the RF, hopefully, on the antenna. That is the line isolator, and I guess that's also called the current balance. So that's my interpretation, anyway. So very good. It's always good. You know, it's definitely necessary if you're running an off-center fit dipole such as the Carolina Windham, where you don't have a balanced antenna. You get an unbalanced situation, and you get current on your feed line. So you need a line isolator to keep the current from coming back into your radio. Over to you there, Don. Any other information or comments from what I said?
Did you turn it over to Dan?
Dan, I meant to say Dan, yes.
I used an off-center fed Windham with a single piece of wire to the random output of the tuner. It was an L-shaped for 80 meters, and I ran QRP with that, and it was a great antenna. In fact, I ran a similar, smaller version of that in a garden apartment, and it worked very well. There was some RF, but I ran a piece of 20-foot piece of coax, so the tuner was not next to the radio. It was sort of behind it, up on a little shelf that I made, and antenna performed beautifully. Multi-band, especially on 80 meters. And I had a lot of fun with it. I have a bunch of balance and different things. It's a lot of fun. Back to net, WA2CLP.
Okay, well again, any Windham antenna, an off-center fed antenna, has an unbalanced current between the shield and the center conductor. And that's the point where we're talking about using a line isolator. You use no line isolators on your installation, is that right, Dan?
Right, I ran nothing on it except the MFJ tuner and the random wire, but I separated that thing away from the radio with about 20 feet of coax, RG58, so I wouldn't get RF on the radio, and it seemed to work okay. I didn't run a lot of power, I ran a lot of QRP with it. I had the hot water 101, I would run it, you know, like with just very little power output. But people heard me on CW, and it worked really well. WA2CLP.
W2JEK with a comment.
Hey, there you are, Don. W2JEK, go ahead.
Yeah, well, one of the things that my friend Mike W3TS came up with is something that Ulrich DJ2LR, I think, is calling. German call was anyway, came up with, they put the balance, most people put the balance after the tuner, in other words, between the tuner and the coax that goes out to the thing. Was he does and would like to go to the corner. Let me grab it a second. That's close. And Jim Joyce did this with the Dentron sort. And he comes out of your radio, out of your coax from the 2A, 1-to-1 balance. And then the tuner is floating. In other words, the tuner is not grounded. The two wires, the two wires from your rider line or whatever, will be floating. In other words, there won't be any. They will not be connected to ground at all. So basically, your tuner will be just tuning what it's seeing from the rider line. And it's coming down to a 1-to-1 balun, which will then go to 50 ohm coax. So, super T tuner. I might be able to see that on the internet. Back to that, WTJK.
Okay, well, that's interesting. But then you don't have any grounded side of your antenna. Both elements of your antenna are floating conditions. They're not any real relationship to ground. And I can see that fine for vertical, for a horizontal antenna. But sometimes for a vertical antenna, that might not be the correct thing to do. But sometimes for the vertical antenna, you want to make sure that you have a ground reflective type of thing, either a counterpoise or a ground plane or the basic ground itself. You need to have one side of a vertical antenna sort of grounded if it's not totally suspended, you know. I guess it could work both ways. You could take a dipole and string it vertically and then have a floating dipole. I guess you call it a vertical dipole, and so it wouldn't be a true vertical antenna. What do you think, Don? Do you think the dipole should be grounded on one side? That's my concept, usually.
If you're talking about a ground plane antenna, like I have one on the rope, it's got 8 radial spaces over the thing, and 16 feet of tubing. Radios at about 16 feet long also. But one thing that I do have an inset wire here, it's about 110 feet long. And I feed it with a tuner, but I do not use a ballast. At the back of the tuner, I have an antenna post and a ground post. No ballast involved. And I go from the antenna to the ground to a piece of tunneling in my shack, down to a hole in the floor, down into the cellar. One side of that sits the antenna post where the tuner connects to the antenna, and the other wire of this piece of twin lead, only about 10 feet long, connects to the ground system that I have. And it works like a bandit.
Okay, and again, you're using the ground as part of the ground plane system, rather than putting radios on.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Did that repeater ID double with me, or did I double with the repeater ID? Anyway, I don't know too much about the ID on this repeater.
Are you there, Tony? W2JK.
I thought I was there.
All right, did you copy what I said? Over.
100%, 100%, yes. And my reference was that you basically, with that antenna, have a ground plane antenna, don't you? Is one side of your antenna grounded? Am I getting out?
You're fine, Tony W2SC, and so is Don.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Bruce. When I get a slow return signal, I always concerned that my key in the microphone correctly. W2SC, good evening. Have you been monitoring our conversation, our crude conversation here?
I caught the tail end of it. Don was talking about twin lead coming down from the antenna.
I missed the part about what kind of wire was up and where and how long.
So it goes up to the rain gutter, out to the side across the yard. And I have about 10 feet of twin leads from my shack, which is on the first floor, that goes down right near where the cellar window is, and it goes down from through the cellar to the floor, and to the one side of the twin lead goes to the wire, one side goes to my...
Okay, down the beginning of that, somebody doubled with you, so I missed the first part. All I caught was the twin lead coming down into the house, and you were describing the wiring down towards the radio, and then it kind of cut out.
Yeah, I have a problem with the power cord on this radio. Like I said, the twin, the antenna tuner has a tuner and an antenna and ground post. One side goes to the antenna post, that goes to the antenna itself. Ground post goes to the ground system, which is a cold water pipe. Ground stake in the backyard right outside the cellar window. There is one radio that's about 60 feet long, and there's another wire that goes to the chain link fence. Over.
Okay, Don, what's up in the air? Let me start from there, take it piece by piece. How much wire, and I guess it comes twin lead from the wire down?
Okay, it's like an inverted L. All right. The wire starts at the cellar window, goes through the cellar window, it's a piece of plastic, and goes up to a rain gutter about 20 feet off the ground. And then it goes across the yard to a mast, which is about 60 feet away in the back of the yard, and it's about 20 feet off the ground also. From there, there's about another 30 feet or so that goes to another pole on the side of the yard. So I've got about 110 feet of wire. The other side of the twin, that's one side of the twin lead to the antenna post on my tuner. The ground post on my tuner gets the other side of the twin lead, and that connects to the ground system, which is the radio and the chain link fence and the water pipe.
Okay, I'm thinking of what kind of antenna this most closely resembles, and the word ZEP comes to mind, but I want to double check something.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's a ZEP. I think it's just an inverted L, but it's fed with a short length of twin lead. Rather than have the coax going down, it would probably wouldn't matter much whether that coax or twin lead, but it's just a short distance. I use the twin lead.
K2AI, back to W2JEK. Don, the coax that you're running from your tuner to your antenna, are you just connecting one side of the ladder line that you run from the back of the tuner to the antenna? Are you connecting just one side of that ladder line to the antenna?
Don, it's a ZEP. It just instead of the wire going straight out, you've got an L configuration. And the other side of the twin lead forms your counterpoise. It's a fairly classic design, dates way, way back. You can use twin lead, you can use ladder line, just balance line is fine.
Yeah, but with the ZEP you have a quarter wave length of the ladder line or open wire that transforms the high impedance at the end of that half wave wire into a lower impedance and at the water wave away from the higher impedance end. So this is just a feed line more or less. It's not a transformer in that sense of the word.
Well, you could argue that, but it is transforming somewhat. Your antenna tuner is taking care of the rest. It's still basically a ZEP.
WA2IC, is a ZEP basically an HF form of J-pole? Over.
I think so. You got the quarter wave set. You got a half wave, and then you got a quarter wave matching section at the bottom, and it's somewhere with that the bottom of that quarter wave matching section, you connect the coax, and that transforms your 50 ohms up to the high impedance at the end of your half wave of wire, which is your actual antenna.
Okay, so that does sound like a J-pole. So I think to make it work properly, you have to have basically a current balun where you connect the coax to the lateral line feed point. Over.
The current balun in the quarter wave section is quarter wave section does two things. It's an impedance matched on, and it's also a counterpace to the infed halfway radiator. And, you know, you've got a combination of both those things here, and your antenna tuner takes care of any imbalance.
Yeah, well, I use this thing on 160 meters. I use the antenna tuner strictly as a loading coil. Just a loading coil in series with the, like a base loading coil, so to speak, inside the about 19 turns on the roller coil. And it's, all that is it series with the lead from the coax, goes through the 18 turns on the roller coil, and out to the wire. That's on 160 meters. On the other bands, I have a, I use a high pass tuning setup. My coax goes through the coax, through the capacitor, like the half of a T network. And then I have the roller coil, and the where the capacitor and the roller coil join together, they attach the antenna. The bottom of the roller coil goes to ground.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Done, that tuner, is it a Pi, Pi L, T, L, what kind of configuration is it?
It's a high, well, I can do it each way, but right now it's configured as a high impedance L. In other words, a lot of L networks, you see, you go through the coil first, and then the antenna and the capacitor, the ground are on the side away from the coax. And here you go through the capacitor first, and then you go to the top of the roller coil, the bottom of which is grounded, and the those two are joined together is also the antenna.
Now, you've got a really interesting variation on your hands there, but it's working, and people are hearing you, and you're getting out, so it'd be interesting to compare it to something else that's more well-known. I don't know how easy that would be to model in Easy Neck or something similar.
Well, there are certain conditions. They have some fixed capacitors built into this thing. It's a unique wire tuner from back in the 60s. And you can, there are a couple of fixed capacitors that you can put in series to make it like a T network. But with fixed capacitor on the antenna side. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I do it without, depending on the band I'm working on. But visualize the T network without the capacitor on the antenna side. That's basically what this is, except there are some fixed bands that I use fixed capacitors to replace that variable capacitor on the antenna side of the T network. Over.
Is this something you came up with on your own, or did you read about it someplace?
Well, the QRP guy said he had a, they call it a half square. It goes up a quarter wave, goes out a half wave, and goes vertically down a quarter wave again. Now that means those two vertical pieces are fed, they are in phase. So they do gain some gain out of this in the desired direction. I don't have that because of the way it's configured. It's just basically a random wire
right side.
Over.
I'm just trying to envision all these things going on at the same time. So you got a vertical section of wire after the twin lead, then a horizontal section, then another vertical section going down. Is it grounded at the end or is it open?
Okay, on the half square antenna, it would be open. It's not grounded. No, basically you got the vertical antenna set by the core. What they have done also is you see the top of this antenna. This is a half square now, like an inverted U, but it's not vertically a quarter wave, and half wave out from the quarter, and then another quarter wave vertical again. And that half wave in between is a phaser thing, phasing wire, really. And you get some gain toward the side, maybe a couple dB, like on the antenna that way. But mine was put up that way originally with that in mind, but it never actually came to the right dimension. So basically, I'm just using this as a random wire. And it's not grounded at the end or anything like that.
Oh, okay, understood, Don. It's no termination resistor, just wide open. It kind of resembles a lot of things, but it still basically sounds like a ZEP that's just bent in a funny configuration.
Yeah, but I wouldn't call it a ZEP, it's just an inside wire, really. It's good. I could probably feed it with coax. At a short length of coax would have been the same. Probably wouldn't make much difference, really.
Actually, it would be different because your twin lead, your vertical section is radiating. The other side of the twin lead is a counterpoise for the return of the current. And then the rest of your antenna, the wire itself, is also a radiator. So you've got a couple of different radiators all tied in there, all operating at the same time.
You know, just the wire is radiating, and the, there's any radiation from the or not. I have used this as, I'm sitting about 5 feet away from an antenna outside my window here in this room. And I can run 100 watts on 75 meters from sideband. I've never had any problem with that.
The twin lead doesn't radiate only in the case of a balanced antenna. And your antenna is most absolutely not a balanced antenna. Dipole would be balanced. An off-center fed dipole would be unbalanced. An N-fed is most definitely unbalanced. So your twin lead is going to be radiating on one side and counterpoise on the other.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. It probably does radiate a little bit. No problem with it. And the only thing I can do is focus me up on all these bands. 10 meters to 75 meters as a tuner, and then on 160 I just use the coils in the tuner, which is accessible through the jacks and whatnot on the tuner, and I can just put a roller coil in series with a coax to the antenna, load it up, but that's all it takes.
I don't know about that some more, but I think that rotocoil isn't so much radiating, because you have a ton of RF in the shack, and you're definitely doing some matching functions and impedance match in there. And the cap is, series cap, inductor to ground, interesting.
What is today's thing? I think a little more interesting, you can do it the other way. You can go through the coil first, and then the capacitor goes to ground. That is a low pass filter. In this condition that I have it now, it is a high pass filter. One of the reasons for that is this one radio I have, the Oak Hills radio. On 80 meters, all I get is white noise. And I use it as a low pass filter for motor broadcast stations. I use it as a high pass filter, I can hear things on the 75 and the 80 meter band on this particular radio.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what everything... Well, obviously the reactances are canceling out, and you've got a decent SWR, I'm assuming. So it's working, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, it works very well.
Yeah, you know, I just got a simple 40-meter off-center fed doublet. And eventually a one-to-one choke and then a chunk of coax coming into the radio. And I can resonate that on 6 through 80, and it works fine. I imagine it's compromised on 80 and even 60, but it's been doing okay. It does what I need for the moment.
NJ2VS, repeat.
W2SE for ID.
Yeah, very good, Bruce. W2JEK for ID. Back to your county, W2JEK.
Okay, K2AMI. Interesting comments about the antennas. And the amazing thing is almost anything works. And if you have a good tuner, you can make the radio look at 50 ohms, which makes the radio happy. It doesn't always make the antenna most efficient, but it makes the radio happy. Again, just introducing what I've got here, I've got almost 300 foot of wire running around the edges of my property in an enormous loop, and then it hangs off the trees around the property edge, including a couple of the town trees. And then it comes to a center point, which has no vallum or anything, but it just has then about 30 foot of open wire line coming down to a line isolator. And at the bottom of the line isolator, I have coax going into my shack, and that goes to a tuner. And the tuner is a high tuner, and I can pretty much tune it up on any band. On some bands, it's very critical, but it will tune up on any band. It works. And it's worked for over 20 years, so I leave it alone. Okay, guys, I can't hang in any much longer because I've got something happening, but if you want to carry on, let me know, and if not, I would like to close the net from my point of view, but I can close the net and leave it open. Anybody else with comments before I suggest that we close the net? Bob or J.E.K., CLP, any comments? How about Bob? Anything further for you, Bob?
This is WA2IC. No, basically no further comments. I think we're done as far as I know. Over.
Okay, well, thank you for checking into the net tonight in the absence of Gordon. And, of course, Gordon has commented that most of the summer now he will not be available for net control. So just as I did pick it up, any one of you can pick it up and open a net and get some conversation going. It's no big deal. We're all radio operators. We all can handle a microphone. Any one of us can be a sort of a net control, or at least a net control the conversation type net. And, of course, WA2CLP, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. It's been an interesting discussion. I'm also on a text here and on the phone in the background. But anyway, it's been interesting. There's all kinds of different arrangements and antennas. And sometimes if you got something that works, I say you can use it. But you always try to, I guess, improve it, put it up higher, get it to work better, and that kind of thing. I can't remember who it was. Somebody in the State Line Club. I don't remember who. Maybe it was Ed Van Overloop or somebody. Didn't care for balance. They said, oh, I don't need the balance and whatever, but you're supposed to use it. You're supposed to even things out with the balanced antenna. I've got I have an old W2AU balance. I haven't used it in years. I think that might have been a one-to-one. I can't remember. Anyway, I'm looking forward to those sausage and peppers, Tony, coming up in the picnic. So with that, back to net, WA2CLP.
Okie dokie. Let's hope that we have a nice, clear day with no rain. All right, this is K2AMI with the Bergen County Amateur Radio Association's information net or technical net. normally run by W2TTT, but tonight picked up by K2AMI. And we'll see you all along the way. And don't forget, Barra's picnic is August the 6th. K2AMI clear, and the net is closed.
FYI, W2AU is nothing more than an iron rod with bifilar windings wrapped around it. Technically, it was a one-to-one choke. I would not consider it a balun in the exact sense of the word. People use the word balun, I should say misuse the word balun extensively for all sorts of things, but technically W2AU is designed for dipoles and related things, and it's a one-to-one choke. W2SE.
Yeah, I had two of them. One broke, but one worked very well over the years, and I still have it somewhere in my box of stuff. Okay, good to know. WA2CLP.
Yeah, I've got a 2AU balun left over from the old days also, but now I'm winding all my own chokes, my own balun's, guanella, mostly current balun's, mostly 4-to-1's and whatever. And then unions as well for the NFED antennas.
WA2IC. I have a W2AU balun that dates back from college days from the college ham radio club. One of the other guys thought it was defective because it showed a short circuit with an ohmmeter. And I was trying to tell him, like, well, it's supposed to be that way, and I couldn't convince him, so he threw it out, and I took it home. Over.
The ones that I've seen the diagram of, it was strictly a bifilar wound choke, and it should have showed an open between the two conductors, unless yours is wound slightly differently than what I looked at.
Yeah, at least the one I had, I think it was just like two coils basically in series, the center tap being where the coax ground connected to, and one end was just the one end of the dipole, the other end of the dipole was the other one that went to the end of the dipole, went also connected to the center conductor, the coax. Over.
Sounds a little bit like an auto transformer.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Maybe it wasn't a W2AU, but it was some sort of balun that worked for me.
Yeah, if you've got a coil of wire between the center conductor of the coax and the shield of the coax, and then you've got another piece of coil extending up, that's basically an auto transformer.
Yeah, this thing was wound on a single ferrite rod, the sort that you find in AM radios, though probably a little more stout for a kilowatt. Over.
Probably iron rod, most likely. There weren't a whole lot of ferrites back in the old days.
Yeah, well, ferrite rods have existed since the early 50s, but I think this thing was probably made in the late 50s, early 60s, so it was probably real ferrite.
Most of the old rods that you see are powdered iron, and they're just not solid iron, they're just powdered iron. Ferrite's got a whole bunch of different chemicals mixed into it.
Yeah, I'm not real familiar with ferrites. I know some are good for VHF and not HF, some and vice versa, and all sorts of different mixes. And when you have a junk box full of the things, it's hard to tell what you got.
NJ2BS, repeat.
Yeah, W2SE. Well, in modern equipment, the ferrites are all, whether they're rods or whether they're toroids, round. They don't have any coloring to them. The powder and iron all have distinct color patterns, which are documented by the manufacturer, and that tells you what kind of format, you know, the material is. With the ferrites, the only way you have of checking to measure them experimentally by putting a couple of turns of wire around it and maybe a capacitor across it and measure the inductance or find the resonant frequency. There's a whole bunch of ways of identifying what you might have. Unfortunately, you got multiple vendors. It's not just ferrite out there. There's lots of other people that build specialized ferrites. Everything from low-frequency switching power supplies that work up to maybe 100 kilohertz to the various ferrites we see now, the 31s, the 43s, the 61s, and beyond, that are all frequency range-specific.
Okay, W2JEK, if I got the call right, WA2ISC. It probably would help if I noted before I put the ferrites into the junk box as to what kind of circuit it came out of. That probably would cut down the mystery a little bit.
Yeah, W2SC. You still got a mystery on your hands when you have this miscellaneous material, because there's probably easier ways of identifying it, but wrap a couple of turns of wire around it and check the inductance is one way. I wrap a couple of turns of wire on it, add a capacitor, measure the resonant frequency. There's another grid dip, etc. All sorts of options there. As for the material, I'm not sure how to identify what material you've got, at least ferrite versus powdered iron. But the powdered iron are normally used in transformer circuits within transmitters. The ferrites are generally used for matching and some other applications.
Okay, yeah, there's a field I'm not real familiar with. It's just that, you just end up hacking around until you get something that works. Anyway, I'll turn it back to the group.
I'm not sure there is much of a group left at this point. The net closed, and we're just chatting along here. Anybody else on a frequency?
This is W2JK. I've been listening.
Yeah, there's all sorts of options out there, and you got to be very specific, Don. It's easy to get confused. I've been working mostly with toroids lately, particularly specifically ferrites, as opposed to powdered iron. And I've been using the ferrites as unions, I've been using them as guanella balance, I even use them as one-to-one chokes. And I've also been using the ferrites as other types of chokes. So if I've got an RF noise problem coming out of a switching power supply, I've been using type 31s to kill that on the power leads so that it doesn't get out of the power supply and into the radio or out on the air.
W2JEK, I'll be going clear tonight off 73s. W2JEK, good night.
Yeah, 73 done. I'll catch you again probably next week or something. W2JEK, W2SE.